Right. Okay. Good evening, then. We are studying chapter 29, which we have been on for several weeks, of the first part of Tanya. And we are looking at page 131 to 132 at the bottom of the page. Here we are. 131, 132. And in the Hebrew, it's 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom, the word ukomoi. Ukomoi. Yes. Yes. 1, 3, 1, 3, 2. And in the English, it's where it says, indeed, we find this explicitly in the ordinary in the English translation. Right. Now, what we have here is a very interesting proof which Rabbi Shneur Zalman is demonstrating from a story in the Torah where the Torah describes something that happens where we see that the Jewish people have a basic spiritual awareness of what is right. Only sometimes, perhaps quite often, that gets covered over by false perceptions. And so he's going to describe this incident in the Torah. The point being that within ourselves as well, we have a basic positive spiritual view of what is right in life according to the Torah, and we have the basic spiritual desire to follow the teachings of the Torah, but this sometimes gets covered over by illusions of different kinds. However, if we're able to turn around and say, this is just an illusion, this is false, this is negative, and we're able to flick it away, then we're able to come back to the basic positive perception which is inside us. So that's where we're beginning at the word ukomoi. Ukomoi shematzinu, as we find, dovon zem afurush b'Torah, this thing clearly explained in the Torah. Gabi meraglim, concerning the meraglim, the spies. Now the spies went to look at the land of Israel. They came back and they said, it's terrible, the people there are too powerful, we'll never conquer them. As a result of that, everyone got terribly upset, and they all said, it's no good, we won't be able to go into the land of Israel. The spies say it won't, it's not possible, and they all got very, very depressed. They all began crying, or they were angry. So, concerning the spies, Shemitchila Omlu, at the beginning they said, Ki chozok hu mimenu. They said, the people in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan, as it was then called, they're too strong for us. Now, the rabbis comment that the word for us in Hebrew, al tikri mimenu, don't read it as for us, but for him. The word for us in Hebrew and the word for him are the same word. It just happens that mimenu means either for us or for him. So, it's not just that the people in the land are too strong for us people, they're too strong for God. That's what they were saying. God won't be able to help us. The people in the land of Canaan are too powerful, even stronger than God. God forbid to say such a stupid thing. But that was what they said. So, Shaloi Heminu B'Yecholes Hashem. They simply did not believe in the power of God. Now, what happened next? God said he's very angry. The people are going to spend, because they went for 40 days in the land of Israel, the spies went for 40 days, and they brought back this bad report, and everyone believed them, and everyone said, no good, we won't be able to go into the land of Israel. So God said, all right, you won't go into the land of Israel. Indeed, you're going to go around the desert for 40 years, a year for a day. Now, when God said that through Moses, what was the reaction of the people? They said, oh no, we will go into the land of Israel. We're sorry, we will go into the land of Israel after all. But after that, after Hashem was angry with them, they said, okay, hinenu v'alinu, here we are, we're going to go up. Now that's a rather mysterious story. Ma'ayin chosru ba'alehem ha'munu b'yacholus Hashem. Where did they suddenly get this faith in the power of God? They had previously, they didn't believe in the power of God. God wasn't going to be able to help them go into the land of Israel. And then, when God is angry with them, they suddenly change their mind. They say, oh yes, we will go into the land. We're going to go now. Hariloi hera lehem Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashanim. Moses had not showed them shum ois u moifis al zeh ben taim. He didn't show them any miracle, any sign to prove that they would be able to go into the land. Rak she'omer lehem, all it was that he told them, eich she'kotzev Hashem aleim, the way that Hashem had been angry with them, v'nishba, and that Hashem himself had promised, had sworn, so to speak, she'loi lahavim el ha'oretz, not to bring them into the land, and that whole generation would die, and only their children will go into the land of Israel. Umma ha'il zeh lehem, what difference did this make to them? Im loy hayu ma'aminim b'yecholes Hashem. If, chas v'shalom, if, God forbid, they didn't believe in the power of God, lichboish lamed alef melachim, to conquer the 31 kings of the land of Canaan and bring the Jews in there. Umipnei zeh, and it was because of this lack of belief, loy rotzu klal, they didn't want at all, over the page now, likanis lo'aretz, to go into the land. So, in other words, the story in itself, either they believe in God's power or they don't believe in God's power. If they don't believe in God's power, so then why did they suddenly change their mind when God said, all right, you don't want to go into the land of Israel? Well, indeed you won't. You're going to wander in the desert for 40 years and every adult's going to pass away in the desert and only your children will go into the land. And then they suddenly say, all right, we want to go into the land now. Do they believe in God's power or not? And the answer is they do. Of course they believe in God's power. It was only a foolish illusion which had been engendered by the report of the spies, which suddenly made them doubt the power of God and start thinking they're not going to be able to go into Israel after all. And so, but once this was blown away by Moses telling them that God was angry with them, then they reverted to their basic faith in God. So that's what it says at the top of the page, page 38a. Eila vadai, but certainly mipnei shi Yisrael atzman heima minim b'nei ma'minim, because the Jewish people in themselves are people who believe in God, and they're the children of people who believe in God, going back many, many, many generations. They have a basic belief in the power of God. They have a basic belief that we're going to go into the promised land. They have a basic belief in everything which the Torah and God teaches us. And the point that he's making is that each of us have that basic belief. Whatever the situation that we happen to be in, and whatever kind of position a person might have adopted intellectually or for whatever reason, and they're claiming this and they're claiming that, but deep down there is this spark of Jewishness which is totally faithful to God. And if you can somehow dissolve the illusion, the cloud which surrounds this spark of emunah, of faith, then you get the pure faith shining out from the person. Raksha hasitra achra, it's just that the negative force, which is something concealing godliness, hamlubeshes begufam, which is enclosed in their bodies, higbi, in other words, the very fact of being a physical person in the world, gives us a certain left foot situation. Because we are physical, and we're tied to a physical world, and we are restricted, and in a sense trapped by physical needs and desires, and that somehow limits it. That limits our view of existence.
Gashmiut.
Gashmiut.
How?
Gashmiut.
Oh, Gashmiut.
Gashmiut. You're right. Gashmiut. Physicality and the You see, we need physicality, and the physicality has to be healthy, and the physicality should be comfortable. We should have enough food to eat, we should have appropriate clothes to wear, we should live in a nice home. Everything should be good.
Not with mice.
But not
with mice.
Not with mice.
Okay. Hopefully not with mice.
What
about a cat?
Don't like cats. You've got two. Okay. Can I just say, I've had them every evening this week and I'm terrified. Can we say a little prayer at the end?
Well, I'd actually recommend a mousetrap.
I would. Or get somebody that talks with them. You get the.
I don't want to.
Okay.
Because right. you said to be safe in your home.
You have to get the people.
They're very unwelcome.
I'm sorry about that.
I was screaming on the phone to Rachel Levy last night anyway. I would not interrupt the show.
Okay. Well, everything's by divine providence.
What does that mean?
You see, we, our mind, there is our mind, which is like a nice home, you know, where godliness dwells. But there are little mice which come in through the cracks. And those mice are not real.
They are.
Your mice are real.
Have you living with them?
Yeah.
Your but mice are real.
You mean it's all in my mind?
No, I'm not saying it's me. No, but the mice in our minds. There are mice in our mind. When Moses shouted at the spies, and he said, you know what, everyone's going to die in the desert, then the mice ran away. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So in other words, the mice are like a force of negativity. You can think of them that way. You can actually think of them as sweet little house mice. Yeah. You know, well, London house mice.
But there must be a reason.
One day someone might call them an endangered species.
I do feel for you.
They're very rare. I mean,
but do you think there's some...
If they were rare, they'd be valuable.
Rachel said to read Tehillim and leave the light on at night. Mm. Maybe the meaning is teaching me to say more Tehillim and trust more in God.
The mice will go away.
I looked at the Lubavitcher and Rebbe's picture on my wall and I said, make them go away.
Mm. Yeah, well.
But can I tell you where it was nice? I went to sleep and I said, Hashem, I can't stand it a second longer. And then I fell half asleep and guess what I saw? A beautiful garden of flowers.
Did you?
Isn't that something?
Really?
I was shouting before. Anyway. Mm.
Well, I do feel for you because.
Anyway, I must go back to the Shiur.
All right. So there we have this course. It's called the other side, Sitra Achra, the other side, the side which is other to Kedusha, to holiness, and it's a side of it's a dimension of concealment of godliness, and it relates to our physical selves because our physical selves are trapped in all kinds of different problems, including mice. And then. So this negative force, Higbi Atzma, it becomes powerful. Al Or Kedushas Nafsho Melekis, over the radiance of the sanctity of the divine souls of those people with Moses in the desert. Begasus Rucha, with its coarseness of spirit, Begavhusa, and its exaltedness, Bechutzba Bli Tam Adas, with a pride which has got a chutzpah. Yes, a cheekiness, which hasn't got any reason. So that's why that was the nature of this force, which covered over their divine soul. But it's really not them at all. This was not them. V'lechein, and therefore, miyan shekotzav Hashem aleim, as soon as Hashem became angry with them, v'hirim b'kol rash v'roiges, and God said angrily, Ad Mosai lo Eda Haroa Hazois, how long will this bad community of people be doing this bad thing with Goyim, etc.?
Are you hot? Can I close the window? Is anybody hot?
That's fine if you want to close it. So God said, how long is this bad community, that means the bad spies, who were causing the whole Jewish people to complain? In this desert, their corpses will fall. Ani Hashem debati, I am Hashem, I spoke him. I'm going to do this to this whole bad community. And when they heard these harsh words, Nichna v'nishva libam b'kirbam. Nichna, you see the subject here is libam, their heart. What did their heart do? It was subdued and it was broken within them. Now what does it mean that the heart is broken? It means that the shell around the heart, which doesn't allow the heart to feel godliness, that shell broke at that moment. You see, there was like a wrapping that Hashem spoke harshly in that way, and it had the effect of breaking the shell around the heart. As it then goes on and says, this is all in Sedra Shalach Lecha, which talks about the spies in Bamidbar. It says that the people mourned very much. They were upset. And that moment of being upset, because God had told them that they're going to wander in the desert for 40 years, and their whole relationship with God returned. It had been forgotten. They thought God didn't have any power. But suddenly, they are the people of God, and they totally trust God. And they're very upset that God has told them they're going to stay in the desert. Umimela nofla hasitra achra, and automatically this negative force fell. Mimem shalto, from its power, v'gav husa, its exaltedness, v'gasas rucha, its pride, v'yisrael atzman, and it left the Jewish people themselves. And what are the Jewish people themselves? Hey ma'aminim, they believe. Now, so that is an incident that happened thousands of years ago, and it's described in the Torah. But it helps us understand our own psychology. Umizeh yochel lilmoid kol odom, and from this every individual is able to learn. Shenoiften loibe machshavtoi, when they sometimes fall into one's mind, sveikus alimuna, doubts about our faith in God. Now, what are the doubts about? It might be about all kinds of different things. There are many narratives, there are many ideals and visions that the Torah presents to us, including the whole point, the whole question, the whole issue of our relationship with Hashem, and that through Torah mitzvahs we are close to Hashem. And a person might suddenly have doubts about their relationship with God, about whether God cares, about the whole direction of the world, of humanity. Is it leading to Mashiach? Or, God forbid, something else? And they suddenly feel doubts about this and doubts about that. But what Rabbi Shneur Zalman is telling us, you know what? Ki heim divrei ruach hasitra achla levada. They are just the words of the spirit of the other side alone. This negative side, this concealing side, which conceals godliness. Hamagbi atzma al nafshoi, which tries to take power over one's soul, over oneself, over us, our soul. Aval Yisrael atzma, but the Jewish people ourselves, themselves, Hey ma'aminim, they believe, and our ancestors believed, and we've got a long line of people going back who believed, and the most important thing is inside us is a divine soul which totally believes. And you know what? Even the evil desire, even the sitra achra, this negative realm, this force of evil, it also believes. That's an amazing statement which can only come from this sort of Kabbalistic, Hasidic perspective. That even, I mean, it's there in the Midrash and the Talmud as well in some sense. But the idea that even the force which is tempting us not to believe actually does believe. V'gam asitra achra atzma, this force of evil itself, Ein lo sveikus klal, it hasn't got any doubts, be'emunah, in its faith in God. So if the evil desire has got faith in God, what is it doing tempting us and trying to persuade us not to have faith? Rak sheniten lo reshus, it is a kind of force which has been given permission and power by God, levalbel ha'adam, to confuse a person, bedivrei sheker u'mirma, with words of lies and deceit. Now, why is it doing this? Why is there that God has given a certain element within our personality, the power to deceive us, to confuse us, to make us all mixed up, to give us illusions which are not true, to make us have doubts in that which is true? Well, the answer given is laharbois schoroi, in order to give us more reward. Because if we had nothing battling against us, and everything was plain sailing, and there was no problem whatsoever, and no problems inside us, so, all right, we'd have done the right thing, but we wouldn't have had any struggle. It does seem that Tanya wants a person to have to fight for their position. It's not enough if it's just plain sailing. You see, you can have
it's like someone being being handed a silver spoon. They're born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Right.
They've never had to work. They've never had to do a day's work in their life. Everything is there. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. But in actual fact, half of those people don't know what life's all about. But I agree up to a point. I think that's right, because it makes you more powerful. It makes you, if you have to fight for something, it's hard, but when you get there, you've achieved it. And I've done it myself, my own self. I've had to fight for a lot of things, but when I've got there and I've achieved it, I sit back and I think, I've done that. Wow. And I feel really good about it. I've got there, I've done it.
That's a very good point, Susan. You know? And you can.
I've done it myself, so
You can describe it in sort of financial terms. You know, is a person born in a home where they have a lot of money, or do they have to work for a living and it's very difficult? But you can also put it in moral or spiritual terms. One person might be brought up in a home where everything is kosher and everything is this and everything is that, and it's just automatic, more or less, that they do more or less the right thing. And another person is in a situation where people don't keep Shabbat, and they don't keep this, and they don't keep that. And the person has to make a struggle in order to get to a situation where they are keeping basic Jewish law. So there's that idea of struggle, and then there is the struggle inside oneself. There are some people who have a kind of very calm, positive disposition, and the other person who were racked with torture.
Look at